Good afternoon. This is Dennis Carroll, and this is Gospel Truth, a program that brings to you the promises of God and the character of God and the wonderful truth of the gospel, that he not only forgives of sins, but he cleanses the heart from sin and all unrighteousness as well. Listen to this wonderful promise of Jesus. Now on the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, "If any man is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture said, from his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water." No doubt the answer to this question. Wonderful, gracious promise of our Lord Jesus Christ as he stands up before the multitudes in the temple and he promises, he who believes in him, as the scripture said, from his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. And truly, when the rivers of living water by the Spirit of God flow in the heart is softened, the heart yields to God, the heart gives its entire being to God in devotion and love. What a wonderful promise this is, a promise of the Spirit. Today, we on Gospel Truth, we are going to be taking your calls from a specific group of people. We want to hear from promise keepers. 3 weeks ago, we spent the entire broadcast talking about promise keepers, not the movement per se, but the promises that are made and whether men and women can keep promises to God, whether we can, in fact, keep promises to God and not have to continually sin against God. And we're going to be talking about these promises again today. And we're going to take the opportunity, along with your phone calls, to talk to those who went and attended last week at the Coliseum as promise keepers, all men who attended that meeting. And we would like you today, please, to call in and share with us if you have been keeping your promise. Now, your last week may have been the first time that you attended, or you may have attended a year ago at Anaheim Stadium. In either case, we would like your phone call if you can call and testify that you have been keeping your promise. The seven promises of promise keepers, which I will review in a minute. If it is your testimony that since last week, it is 1 week since the time that you men were gathered together, if you have been keeping those promises for 1 week, call up and testify to the whole world that you have been keeping those promises to God. Phone number is area code 310-988-1390. That's 310-988-1390. Now, while you were writing that phone number down, area code 310-988-1390, pick up your phone and call us, you gentlemen. You may not be around today. Also open for the ladies who are wives of promise keepers. Your promise keeper may not be around today. He may be off keeping his promise. But you can testify as his wife, his spouse, that he has made and is keeping his promises that he made to God last week or last year or under the influence of the Promise Keepers movement. No one knows better than a man than his wife whether or not he is keeping his promises to God. So this broadcast is open for the phone calls from both Promise Keepers and Promise Keepers' wife who would call up and testify that, in fact, since they have made those promises, they have been keeping those promises. And I have a few questions for those who call in and give them opportunity to glorify God and testifying to the promises that they are keeping. Here are the promises that the promise keepers make at the meeting. First promise, he commits to honoring Jesus Christ through worship, prayer, and obedience to God's word in the power of the Holy Spirit. Second, he commits to pursuing vital relationships with a few other men. Third, he commits to practicing spiritual, moral, ethical, and sexual purity. Fourth, he commits to building strong marriages and families through love, protection, and biblical values. Fifth, he commits to supporting the mission of his church by honoring and praying for his pastor and actually giving his time and resources. Sixth, he commits to reaching beyond any racial and denominational barriers to demonstrate the power of biblical unity. And lastly, he commits to influencing his world by being obedient to the Great Commandment and the Great Commission. Wonderful promises, as we talked 3 weeks ago regarding these promises and their validity and their biblical basis. They are reasonable, they are according to the Scriptures, and they are doable. For all of you men out there that are listening that attended Promise Keepers, according to the Orange County Register, 72,548 attended Promise Keepers at the Coliseum. Now, we know that probably all of those are not listening to today's broadcast because they are out doing other things, or not everyone listens to this broadcast, as we know. But those who are listening, who are Promise Keepers, call in. And if you are a wife of a Promise Keeper and you can testify that your husband has been keeping his promises to God and the Promise Keepers, you call in and testify and give glory to God for that as well. The phone lines are open, ready for your calls. What's the significance of the broadcast today? Does it have any tie-in to what we've been talking about before? Yes, it does. Last week when we talked about the difference between legal justification and gospel justification, we pointed out the difference between the two, and we ended the broadcast by indicating that gospel justification has some conditions. And one of those conditions is faith in the promises of God. So as we wait for your phone calls and talk to those who are, have made these promises and would like to share them with us, we would also look at the matter of God being a promise keeper. For after all, salvation is a promise. Salvation to the sinner is promised by God. You that are wanting to call in, it's area code 310-988-1390. Area code 310-988-1390. We read in the book of Romans, written by the Apostle Paul, regarding justification by faith, talking about the faith of Abraham. And Abraham was faced with a real necessity to believe God, because God had promised him a child. But Abraham was too old to have a child, and so was Sarah. Not to begin with, but with apparently Abraham's faulty understanding of the promise, he went into Sarah's servant girl and had a child by her named Ishmael. But that was not God's purpose in the spirit of his promise. The promise was that he would come from Abraham's loins through his own wife Sarah. So Abraham arrived at the age where both he and his wife are incapable of having children, and God still promised to give him an heir through which he would bless the whole world. And Abraham was faced with the necessity to believe God in spite of the fact that his body was no longer capable of having a child. So Romans chapter 4, verse 18 says, "In hope against hope, he believed, in order that he might become a father of many nations, according to that which had been spoken, so shall your descendants be. And without becoming weak in faith, he contemplated his own body, now as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. Yet, with respect to the promise of God, he did not waver in unbelief." You see, with respect to the promise of God, it says, he did not waver in unbelief, but grew strong in faith. Just the opposite. Instead of wavering in unbelief, he grew stronger in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully assured that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. So Abraham, called the father of faith, demonstrating the kind of faith that God requires in order to account it as righteousness, says, "Therefore also it, his faith, was reckoned to him as righteousness." So God is the promise keeper. His promises have to be believed, and they oftentimes and do require believing contrary to appearances. So you promise keepers out there, or wives of promise keepers, call in and tell us about the promises that you have made and that you are keeping. That you are faithful to your word, you are people of integrity, and that you've made these promises to God with a sincere heart, and that they are made unto the Lord for the sake of the kingdom of God. 72,000 strong made promises last week. We would like for you to call and share with us your promises and the keeping of your promises and how it affects your life and the life of your church and your family and such as that. Let's give glory to God today for all those who can call and have the time to call and share with us as a promise keeper. This is your opportunity, promise keepers, to let it be known that you are men of your word and that you have made a vow that you intend to keep and are keeping. The broadcast is open to you. Time for your phone calls. Area code 310-988-1390. Now, when God makes promises, and Peter tells us that he has given unto us great and precious promises. Great and precious promises. Paul tells us in Corinthians that all the promises of God are yes and amen in Jesus Christ. That through Jesus Christ, all of the promises of God become yes. And we say amen to that, he says. And through Jesus Christ, who is alive and not dead, all the promises of God are being fulfilled. So through Jesus Christ, God keeps his promises. But promises have conditions to them. Implied in every promise is a condition to believe it in order for it to be fulfilled to you, fulfilled to me. Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. He believed in hope against hope, verse 18 says. In hope against hope, he believed in order that he might become a father of many nations according to that which had been spoken. Now, God has conditions attached to numerous of his promises. When God is going to fulfill a promise to us, oftentimes we see the promise revealed right in the scriptures. For example, the very famous verse on revival, 2 Corinthians 7:14, says, "And my people who are called by my name, they humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land." What a gracious promise of God to promise that his people who have turned from him into idolatry, to have turned away from him, if they will humble themselves and pray and seek his face and turn from their wicked ways, then, he says, I will hear from heaven, will forgive their sins, and heal their land. There we see the condition God imposes that until those who call themselves by God's name humble themselves and pray and seek his face and turn from their wicked ways, until those people do that, he says, then I will hear, not before, and forgive their sins and heal their land. Now, God's promises to us have various conditions. If we do not meet them, we cannot believe that he will fulfill the promise. Why? Because in order for him to fulfill a promise without us meeting the conditions is that he should lie. In other words, if he told us the condition is that we should turn and pray and humble ourselves and seek his face before he will hear from heaven, and if we don't do that and yet call upon him to hear from heaven, then we believe or are expressing an idea that God really is lying about the conditions and that he will hear us from heaven anyway and forgive even though we don't turn. So God's promises with these conditions inform us under what conditions these promises can be justly fulfilled. Those people sometimes who oftentimes want to pray and trust God and his promises do so without meeting the conditions and yet want God to fulfill his promises when they pray without meeting the conditions. What they are saying is that they want God to lie and meet a condition even though they have not and fulfill the promise even though they have not met the condition. Perhaps you have been tripped up by this yourself. You have prayed with great earnestness. You have prayed out of the need of your being and your spiritual necessities. And you call upon God, but you have not realized that God has certain conditions. And those conditions, that you are not meeting them. You're not humbling yourself. You're not seeking his face. You're not turning from your wicked ways. And therefore, God cannot fulfill his promise. Otherwise, he would have to lie in order to do so. So God has conditions to his promises. Now, with the promise keepers, these are promises made to God, not as a condition in order to do something else for God, but to vow one's heart and being in these different ways as service unto God. We have Jim on the phone, and Jim, I trust, is a promise keeper, and we will bring him up here in just a moment and see his testimony.
Thank you.
Hello, Jim.
Hi. I didn't make promise keepers this year on purpose. I was there last year. I didn't pay the $55, so I wouldn't have gone, but I won a ticket, so I was up to go because of that. I didn't keep my promises as a result of promise keepers last year. The emotion only helped me up for about 15 minutes, but it seemed to work a little bit longer for most other people. But
well, let me get this straight, what you said so far. You went a year ago,
uh-huh.
Anaheim Stadium?
Yes.
And the emotional push gave you about 15 minutes worth of keeping power?
Yeah.
Okay. And then what are you telling us?
That I didn't keep the promises.
Okay.
And, but as now as a result of my realizing what it means to make a commitment to the Lord, and that in order to sin, I, of course, first have to be willing to forsake my vows. As someone cheating on their spouse has to first be willing to forsake their marriage vows.
Uh-huh.
And my vow to love him with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength, and my neighbor as myself, I first have to consider those as not before I am willing to practice sin or commit a sin. But I was more calling because in trying to discuss some of this with a friend, he keeps running to the defense of, hey, John says if we say we have no sin, we're a liar, so we are going to sin. We must sin per the Bible. And he says, well, I'm sure there's other verses somewhere, but they don't come to mind readily for him, except, of course, Paul's supposed struggle, where Paul doesn't do what he wants to do and does what he doesn't want to do. But I was wondering if you would address the John verse that he seems, and most Christians seem to think, says it's okay to sin because the Bible says we must and we will sin, and that is talking to Christians, so Christians must practice sin because the Bible says so.
Okay, let me stop you right there, Jim. Okay. I know you're on the freeway calling out of your car.
Yeah, do you want me to hang up and you just address the call and I'll listen to it when I'm in?
Well, no.
Okay.
Will you stay on a minute or two?
Of course.
Okay. I'm not going to address 1 John 1, 8, 9, and 10 today. That will be in a separate broadcast because that necessitates for fairness that it be given some time.
Yes.
But my question to you is, you said you didn't keep your promises from last year. Have you subsequently given your heart to God and made a vow to love him with all your heart?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so separate from the Promise Keepers meetings, you have made promises to God that you are keeping.
Yes, totally separate from the Promise Keepers meetings.
Okay, but you have promised to love God with all your heart and love your neighbor as yourself.
Yes, sir.
And that required that you make a commitment?
When I recognize that Jesus Christ is Lord, it makes that commitment, because if he is in fact Lord, then I must do what he tells me to do, much as a soldier in the army must do what the general tells him to do.
So when you believed he was Lord, that brought you to submission?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Praise God. Thank you for that testimony, Jim, and I will address that 1 John at a future broadcast.
Thank you, Dennis.
Thank you. God bless. Thank you, Jim, for calling. Thanks for taking the time to call on the road. Hope you're driving safely. Thank God that without promise keepers, and this is not a referendum of for or against promise keepers, but though it didn't happen at Promise Keepers, thank God that Jim was received instruction from God and came to a knowledge that Jesus is Lord. And in believing so, he gave himself to entirely trust God and submit to him in obedience. So that this is a testimony of a person who is keeping a promise, but through a means other than the particular meetings of Promise Keepers. Any of others out there that are Promise Keepers and went to the meeting, or perhaps like Jim, has made a promise to God through faith in Jesus Christ as Lord, you would like to call and share in that. And I promise that at a future broadcast, 1 John chapter 1 will be addressed to demonstrate that John is not talking about we as Christians, but we rhetorically, and you'll see what he's talking about when we address that at a future time. Any other would like to call? The lines are open. Promise keepers and wives of promise keepers would like to call and testify that through faith in Jesus, through the ministry of Promise Keepers, whatever means God has brought to you to make a promise to him and that you're keeping it, we would like to give glory to God at this time. Continuing on in our study, as God has made promises, how do we know what the will of God is, or what he in fact will do for sinners and do for those who trust him? The revelation of God's will towards us and what he will do is in his promises. When promise keepers make promises, it is a revelation of what they are committing themselves to do. And so if a person has made those promises and has told his pastor that he will be supporting him and praying for him and actually giving up his time and resources, as he tells his wife that through love and protection and biblical values, he's going to build a strong marriage. If he testifies to the church that he's going to be obedient to the Great Commandment and the Great Commission, then those people who hear those promises, do they not have some kind of reasonable expectation to count upon that person to actually do those things? In other words, if a pastor hears a man come up to him and say, "Pastor, I've made these vows, and I promise to be praying for you and actually giving my time and resources in the mission to the mission of this church," that would give the pastor reason to call upon that man and say, "This needs to be done, and this needs to be done as part of the mission of the church. Will you please do it?" And he should be able to ask with confidence, a degree of confidence and faith in that person who made the promise, because he hears him expressing what he is willing to do. Now, he wouldn't come to the man and say, "We want you to go sell encyclopedias and change your employment." And you say to him, "Is that the part of the mission of the church?" And he says, "No, but you said that you were willing to serve." Well, your promise is specific that you are supporting the mission of the church. And your specific promise is a revelation of what you are willing to do. So, just because a person promises they're willing to support the mission of the church doesn't give somebody else the right to ask them to go and do anything that's not connected with the mission of the church. Similarly, when God makes promises, they are specific, and they are a revelation of his will towards man, of what God is willing to do towards man. So that when God makes great and precious promises, such as forgiveness and cleansing and healing for our souls, then this is a revelation of what God is willing to do. God's promises are where he reveals what he is willing to do. So if you need to know what the will of God is that he is willing to do for you as a sinner or as a believer, look to his promises. The promises of God are a great wealth of spiritual treasure that have not been looked into adequately at all. The great promises of God, they reveal what God is willing to do and under what conditions he can justly do so. But how do you know that you can trust him to actually do them? That is a secondary question regarding God the Promise Keeper. As we continue today regarding promises and God the Promise Keeper, I remind you that the phone lines are open. If you would like to call and share with us as a Promise Keeper that you've made these promises to God and you're keeping them, it's area code 310-988-1390. This is open for spouses of Promise Keepers. This is open, as Jim called in, this is open also for anyone who has made promises to God through faith in Jesus Christ, has pledged their heart to him, and are keeping that promise. Call and testify today of your promise keeping. Sometimes people think, "Well, if I testify that I'm keeping my promise to God, they'll think I'm proud." No, give God the glory. Let those who would think that yet you're proud deal with their own concerns. Because it is not modesty to keep that truth, that testimony to ourselves. It is a false modesty to not let it be known that God, through faith in Jesus, is being honored and obeyed from the heart. So call in and tell us that you are, in fact, a promise keeper as unto the Lord. Now, when God has revealed through his promises that he will be faithful and righteous to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, that is what we can believe. But why should we believe that is a secondary question. In other words, just because a person makes you a promise, is that a reason to trust the person? Do you trust a person because they promise? Isn't there a greater reason that you need than simply because people make promises? We look at the political world, do we not? And numerous promises are made and not kept. Do we look at people who make promises and just because they make them conclude, therefore, I can trust that they will keep the promise? Don't we require something greater than a promise out of somebody's lips as a reason to trust them and believe that they will do it? Yes, we do. That fact that somebody makes a promise is not a sufficient reason to believe them. Believability, trusting in a promise, depends upon character. The character of God is the reason to believe He will fulfill a promise, not the power of God. Many people think that they are trusting in the power of God to do something. And people will say often as a, in a kind of a theological way, well, God has all power and He can do all things. No, salvation is not a power-based religion. Faith is not power-based. Faith is character-based. I'll give you an example. When the three small states that used to be part of the Soviet Union, Lithuania, Estonia, and Latvia, they lived under the domination of the Soviet Union for a number of decades, and they tried to free themselves before they were finally freed. They appealed to the United States and the United Nations and the world for help to free themselves from this domination of the Soviet Union. Now, the Soviet Union had great power. Great power. And that was why and how they could dominate them for several decades in the Soviet Union. The Lithuanians, in particular, calling for help, did not trust the Soviet Union because they had power, because behind the power, they had experience with the Soviet Union of a government that ruled through tyranny, not through goodness and fairness and justice. So that the character of the old Soviet Union and its government, ruling by fear and tyranny and power, did not give the Lithuanians reasons to trust them. In fact, their power gave them reasons to fear them, because the power gave them the ability to carry out their tyranny. However, in God, it's not the power either that we trust, but we trust that His character is such that He will keep His promises. God has the power to keep His promises. Power is a necessary condition to keeping a promise. Promise keepers, in fact, have the ability to keep these promises, and that's a necessary condition. If they didn't have the ability to keep these promises, then the promise is not a good promise. But God has the ability to keep the promises that He makes. And in fact, it says so regarding Abraham's faith. Romans chapter 4, verse 21, it says regarding Abraham, and being fully assured that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. So Abraham was persuaded that what he had promised, he was able to perform, but his faith was not based upon his assurance that he was able, but that he was a being that when he makes a promise, he will keep his promise. That's called character, that he is not a being who would lie. Scriptures reveal that God is not a man that he should lie. May God be found true and every man a liar when it comes right down to it, Paul says. So it is the character of the person speaking words of promise upon which we must depend for whether or not we will trust them. We have the ability to trust God. God has the ability to keep His promises. But is God the kind of being who is trustworthy? Has God given us any reason to not trust Him? Once again, the phone lines are open at area code 310-988-1390. Surely there are promise keepers out there that can call and share with us of your testimony of keeping your promises. Perhaps you're like Jim, who had an emotional push for about 15 minutes or maybe a day or two. But some of you have gone beyond that and have made promises to God because you have trusted and believe that He is Lord and that God will keep His promises to those who obey Him. Area code 310-988-1390. This is your chance to be on the air and glorify God in your testimonies of keeping your promises to God. So God is to be trusted not because He has all power and can do everything, but he is trusted because he is a God who does not lie and will do everything he promises. Isn't that a big difference? Isn't that true in your relationships in the home, your relationships with your children or your parents? Isn't it true that you trusted your parents because you believe they have the character behind their promises, that you believe they would not lie to you? Isn't that, if you do no longer trust your parents, isn't that why? It's because they have demonstrated that they have a character that cannot be trusted. Not that they gave up or lacked the ability to do what they said, but that their words became hollow. How terrible it is to be in a close relationship with somebody who continually lies. How sad it is, because lie after lie erodes the reasonableness of trusting a person who is lying. In the Church of Jesus Christ, why is so little being done? Because there is not trust and confidence between one another. There is not confidence between leadership and those people who attend. There is not confidence between those who are responsible and those who are serving in different relationships. Confidence in the church is greatly eroded through the events of the last 10 years and what has happened in leadership and the failure of leadership in its moral purity. And as a result, those who have been led by people and those who are being led by people who have responsibility to give leadership, confidence in leadership is greatly lacking. And for reason. Reasons have been given to people to not trust leadership. When you read in the paper that a counseling service, a professed Christian counseling service, is having certain people who are counselors indicted for molestation and sexual abuse, reasons are given to not have confidence in leadership. You search your mind and contemplate the relationships that you have in regards to confidence, and you will recognize that it's not the lack of ability that gives you reasons not to trust people. It is your reasons that they give you that their word is not good, that they are not willing at any cost to keep their word. So it is true with God. We know by our own consciousness that God is a being that does not lie. He is a being of absolute honesty. The scriptures reveal that God is not a man that he should lie, that God is a God of truth, that God will always be truthful in everything that he says and promises, and will never deceive us by promising or saying anything that is not true. That if he makes a promise, he makes it only because he is committed in advance to fulfilling that promise. So the promise of forgiveness of sins, of cleansing from all unrighteousness, those promises that God makes in the new covenant as spoken through the prophets, God stands behind those. It's his character that stands behind those, ready to fulfill it to everyone who meets the conditions of faith and repentance. Many people think that because they want God to keep his promise, that is equivalent to trusting him to keep his promise. If you'll examine your heart and mind, you realize perhaps maybe that you have done that or are doing that, that you want God to fulfill his word to you, but that is different than really trusting him to do so. So, in God and his character, he has demonstrated by his character that he is trustworthy. Therefore, when Abraham had a child, it was but a confirmation of the trustworthiness of God, not the reason to trust him. Abraham believed God before the promise was fulfilled. Abraham had reasons to trust God before the promise was fulfilled and was a necessary condition for it to be fulfilled. Sometimes we think that if God would just fulfill a promise, we would trust him. But that's backwards. If we will trust him, God will fulfill a promise. We have a caller from Bell Gardens named Ronnie. And Ronnie, we're going to bring you up right now.
What?
Hi, Ronnie.
Remember me?
No, I don't, Ronnie.
I would like to be on the air.
Excuse me?
I want to be on the air today.
Ronnie, you're on the air.
Long time. Well, last time I was on the air. I want to pay for my brother's Irvin's back.
Excuse me?
I'll get this very quick.
Ronnie?
Yeah?
Are you a promise keeper?
Yeah, versus promise, truth seekers, I guess.
Ronnie?
Yeah?
You're calling the wrong program.
No, but I want to call your program, the live program.
Well, you called the live program, but are you a promise? Are you a promise keeper?
I'm a gosh, I go to church and serve God. I'm a Christian. Can you call us?
Uh huh. And you're a promise keeper?
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. Thank you.
Can you pray for me? My boss, pray for my. Because you got other calls coming in, don't you?
Yes, I do.
Oh, I'm making this quick.
Ronnie, excuse me. We don't take prayer requests. Thank you. God bless you, Ronnie. Thank you for calling. Dear heart, thank you. Any other promise keepers out there would like to call and testify that you're keeping your promises to God, as Ronnie and Jim have done? Their number is 310-988-1390. And this is not a prayer request line. There are ministries for that. And Ronnie, no offense when I said we do not take phone calls today for prayer requests. We are seeking out those who are keeping their promises, and thank you for calling. God keeps his promises, as we said, because he is a promise-keeping God, his character. Now, what kind of character keeps promises? An honest character. A honest character that would not lie when he makes a promise. 72,000 men, I trust all of them were making a promise. Perhaps some were making them the promise under the pressure of peer pressure, such as that, or an emotional experience, or a desire to keep a promise. But that's not keeping a promise. God does not make promises under an emotional impulse or a desire to do good. God makes promises for the needs of those that he makes promises to. We need exactly all that God promises to us. We as sinners who have sinned and rebelled against God need the mercy and pardon and forgiveness that God promises. We need gospel justification through mercy and grace that God promises. Jesus promised that everyone that would come to him, everyone that would believe in him, out of his belly would flow rivers of living water. Those that are dead in their trespasses and sin need from God rivers of living water to flow out of their innermost being instead of this corruption and sin and unrighteousness and unwickedness. God makes promises to men through Jesus Christ because we need exactly what God promises. Men who have sinned against God need cleansing, need the Spirit, need pardon and forgiveness. And God makes those promises because he is a God of love who seeks to do good to those whom he has created. And to the sinner, the good that the sinner needs is forgiveness and cleansing and the Spirit and holiness. And God makes promises to the sinner of grace and acceptance, of mercy and pardon, and of the Holy Spirit and rivers of living water. Whatever the sinner needs, God has promises for that. And the reason to trust him is not because God can do everything, but because God is a being that never lies. He is trustworthy. He is benevolent. He is love. He is seeking our good. And he makes promises revealing the good that we need. Those of you that might have studied the promises recognize this fact, that a revelation of what we need is also in the promises. In the promises is revealed what God is willing to do. In the promises is also revealed what we need from God for our well-being. So if you will review the promises of God, you will see what is revealed that we need. We need a shepherd, and Jesus promises to be our shepherd. We need truth, and Jesus promised to send the Spirit of truth to teach us all things. We need to have a spirit of adoption so that we know that we are sons of God, and God gives his Spirit a spirit of adoption. God, we need a clear conscience, and through faith in the blood of Christ, our conscience is cleansed. All these great and precious promises God has made to sinners, because this is what we need. So we see our need in the promises of God as well. This is your last call, Promise Keepers. Area code 310-988-1390. Call in and testify that you are a promise keeper, that you've been to Promise Keepers, that your promises were genuine and sincere from the heart. Let us hear from you. Surely out of 72,000, there are some who could call and testify. And if the Promise Keeper is not at home, wives, you are open to call in and testify that your husband has become truly a Promise Keeper, that he has given his whole heart to keep these promises and is doing so. But if every man were a liar, Paul says, let God be true. If every man in the world did not keep his promises, let God be true and every man a liar if necessary, because God keeps his promises. Now, some people try to lay out all the promises so that we can have promises of just everything we want. God does not promise us everything we want. God promises everything we need for life and godliness. Not everything we want. God is not our bellboy, our infinite, all-powerful bellhop, to go and seek after the things that we want, and we send him on errands to bring back the things that we want to indulge in. But God is an infinitely benevolent being who has seen our need as sinners and how to redeem us from sin and its penalty, and therefore he has made these great and precious promises to do exactly what we need. Many people are so engaged in seeking what they want that they think that that's what God promises, what they want. No, no. Jesus said, if you'll seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all the things that you need will be added unto you, but not all the things that you want. You see, the gospel is, excuse me, the gospel of God provides what we need, not what we want. What the sinner lives for is what he wants, not what he just needs. The gospel is not intended to cater to the sinner and indulge him further in his life of comfort and selfish indulgence. But a disciple of Jesus Christ is called upon to forsake the world, lay down his life, take up his cross, and follow Jesus. And God has great promises for those who do that. That is a great condition of discipleship. Thank God we have another phone call from Clay in Hollywood. Clay, you're on.
Clay.
Now you're on.
Hello?
Hi, Clay.
Yes, Isaac. It's Isaac.
Well, Isaac.
Isaac. Last name is Clay. First name is Isaac.
Isaac Clay.
How are you doing, my brother?
Very good, my brother. Thank you for calling. Are you a promise keeper?
I try very hard to be.
You try?
Yeah.
When's the first time you made a promise? This year or last year?
Well, when I say I'm a promise keeper, I haven't literally made a promise to the Lord, but I try to go by the Word of God. I try to live by it as much as I can, and I try to allow the Holy Spirit to correct me daily. So, you know, maybe I'm not a formal promise maker or keeper, but I believe I fit into the category.
Okay, well, you know your heart and your conscience. You know whether or not you have made a commitment to serve God with all your heart. Have you?
Yes, I have.
Okay.
As a matter of fact, I was listening to you. I've been listening to you since you came on the air.
Praise the Lord.
And I commend you for what you're doing, and maybe it's just me, but it kind of bothered me when you cut that brother off so quickly that wanted you to pray. I understand fully that you're not offering prayer.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, one of the fruits of the Spirit is gentleness.
Yeah.
And meekness, and I was wondering if that brother was hurt,
uh-huh,
you know, by you being so abrupt. And I'm saying, it seemed like a contradiction of everything,
uh-huh,
you're saying, and you cut that brother off like that. I said, Lord, I don't understand that. Maybe it's me. Can you give me some feedback on that?
I would sure like to. I was a little bit perplexed as to what to do.
Oh, okay.
When Ronnie called, and I'm not offering an excuse, but I'm sitting here with things that are very unfamiliar to me, and Ronnie mentioned Truth Seekers, which was the broadcast that used to be on at this time frame, so I thought he had called the wrong broadcast, and frankly, I just didn't know what to do.
Well, you know...
So I handled it the way I did,
well,
and...
You know what?
Mm-hmm?
Next time, just stop and take a minute and say, Lord, I don't know what to do.
Uh-huh.
And the Holy Spirit will tell you exactly what to do. But be gentle.
Yes, sir.
Because, see, you can lose a person like that.
I receive that, Isaac. Uh-huh.
And God bless you for being humble enough to receive the correction, because a lot of people wouldn't receive it.
Uh-huh. And well, what you're saying is true, and I apologize on the air to Ronnie if I offended him, but I receive what you're saying, Isaac, and thank you.
God bless you. Keep up the good work.
God bless you, too, Isaac.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Thank God for that call. My brother was right, and I thank him for that. God bless you, Isaac, as you continue to serve the Lord, and may you have the same spirit about you as you talk to others. Thank God for that call, because what we are talking about is believability and credibility, and it is our disposition and our character that gives credibility to what we say and what God says, and as the fruit of the Spirit is the things that Isaac is talking about, so it is necessary that we see in God those characteristics, those attributes of benevolence, and gives us reasons to trust Him, that He is gentle and kind, that He does not lie, that He is always seeking our good. And then when He makes promises, it is not to force something down our neck or down our throat, but it is to offer us the good that we need for the salvation of our souls and to draw us into relationship and sympathy with the Lord Jesus Christ. So it is the character of God as revealed in Jesus that has demonstrated to the world and to all of us that God can be trusted. Jesus said, "If you have seen Me, you have seen the Father." And Jesus has revealed a character of His being that is gentle when necessary and just where necessary, that He is seeking the good of all, that all that came to Him, He healed. That the Bible says He went about doing good and all healing all of those that were oppressed of the devil. He revealed the character of God to be a being that is always seeking the good of His creatures and of those that He governs over, and is not seeking any harm or misery for us, but that He does all things for good to those who love God and are called according to His purpose. So it is true that Jesus Christ has given us the incarnate reason to trust God and believe God's promises. And Jesus Himself, as God, made great promises to all of those that would be His disciples. A promise that His yoke is easy and His burden is light. And if we are under a heavy yoke and burden, that we can come to Him and take His yoke upon us and learn of Him. That we can follow after Him and not be concerned with the cares of this world. Jesus has made His great promises regarding giving us His Spirit to teach us all things. That His Spirit would come and be with us and be as closer to us than Jesus could be, because He would be within us. That Jesus gave us the promises of the Spirit to us, that He would be our comforter, that He would replace Jesus as the comforter who walked on the earth, and He would be the comforter to all men at the same time around the world. So through the promises of Jesus and through the demonstration of the character of God through Jesus, we have reasons to trust God and His promises. Entering into the very entryway into a life with God is for the sinner to hear the promise of God that to the sinner, God will be merciful to him and forgive his sins, that God will be gracious to him and receive him as a lost son, that the first promise that the sinner needs to hear and know for him and his need is that an atonement has been made. A governmental sacrifice has been offered, making it possible for God to reach down and save the sinner, making it justifiable for God to forgive sins when He is setting aside justice, making it possible for the grace of God to put His arms around the sinner with love and demonstrate His love without being accused of loving sin. So the atonement of Jesus Christ and the resurrected Jesus makes it possible for the love of God to proceed with its plan and design and welcome the sinner home as He offers him a pardon and mercy and pardon and grace, as we talked about last week. And summing up today's broadcast, hearing from a few people who testify to being people who have made promises to God and are living according to their promises, we would wrap it up by drawing together from last week's broadcast and this week's broadcast. Gospel justification is God's promise to be merciful and gracious to the sinner. That the sinner's eternal destiny is not fixed once he has sinned, but that God has provided a remedy by which, through the atonement of Jesus Christ, that justice can be set aside and mercy and pardon given in its place. That that disfavor and distance between God and man can be broached and closed through Jesus Christ, and the arms of God's favor can be surrounding the sinner and treating him as if he had never sinned, treating him as if he had always been a son. But what brings those two parts of justification in reality to the sinner? It is when the sinner hears the promise of God that he will pardon him and receive him as the prodigal son was received. When the sinner hears God's promise that he will not hold his sins against him, but because of the blood of Jesus, he will pardon the sin and completely release him from it and never have to be punished for his sins, if he will believe this promise, if he will believe that this promise is genuine and come to God instead of running from God through the influence of the law and his conscience, if he will hear the promise of God from afar off through Jesus Christ, through the voice of a minister, through the Word of God, through this broadcast, if you are a sinner and you're running from God through fear of punishment, I assure you that the gospel promises you that you can be forgiven and will be forgiven by God, and that he will welcome you as if and treat you as if you had never sinned. This is a promise of God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. The question to the sinner who hears the promise of God is, will you trust God, or will you call him a liar? Will you believe the record that God has given of his Son and move towards God because you do believe that he will fulfill that promise? Or will you continue to run away in unbelief that that promise is not valid, not made by a God who is trustworthy, not made by a God who is honest? Will you, in fact, call God a liar by remaining in your unbelief? That's what it boils down to between God and the sinner. When the sinner hears the gospel and the offer of salvation, of mercy and grace, when the sinner does not respond and take it, he is declaring that he does not believe that God is honest or sincere or trustworthy or telling the truth. It is calling God a liar. My friend, the promises of God are true and will be fulfilled, not because God has the power only, but because God is trustworthy and honest and will keep his word. God is a God of love, and a loving God will not break his word. This is Gospel Truth, here to proclaim to you the good news of the gospel, that not only is forgiveness of sin possible, but salvation from the power of sin is included in the gospel, and we are here to declare to you that truth. Our writing address is Post Office Box 6322, Orange, California, zip code 92613. If you would like to leave us a message throughout the week, it's area code 714-771-6310. God bless you all for all your calls. Thank you, Clay, for that wonderful call. God bless you. God bless you this day.
The preceding broadcast was sponsored by Gospel Truth Ministries, and you can send Pastor Dennis Carroll a letter at Post Office Box 6322, Orange, California, and the zip code is 92613.